Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. Be sure and listen after the programming for a special programming note. Before we do get started, I want to encourage you to send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. This episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thanks so much for your support. And you can support the program over at support.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, continuing with the Flight 6 matter, parts 3 and 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Don Serrano de Almeida y Pico.
Oh?
We have not met, Senor Dollar.
No, or I'd have been sure to remember the name, Don Serrano. Oh, wait a minute. You're Maria de Lago's brother.
That is correct.
I was planning to call on you this morning, Don Serrano.
That will not be necessary, Senor, since I am taking the liberty of calling on you. I am downstairs in your hotel at this moment.
Oh, I see.
I believe I may be able to cast some light on the unfortunate tragedy which overtook my poor sister and the other passengers of that ill-fated airplane.
You know something that hasn't come out?
Rather a great deal, Senor. I know the crash which resulted in the deaths of 10 innocent people was the evil work of a diabolical maniac.
Yes, well...
A product of the warped mind of a scheming, worthless, unspeakable dog, a sneaking, money-hungry snake, a scurrilous, unprincipled...
Don Serrano!
Si, senor.
Come on up.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Mexico City, to the Home Office Guarantee Transport Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Flight 6 matter. Expense account continued. Item 5, $3.90, room service, breakfast for myself and a pot of coffee for my visitor, Don Serrano de Almeida y Pico, I think. He was a thin, straight man with a small goatee and the face of a hawk, stiff, formal, unbending. A classy grande type from an old school long out of business, and a man of much suppressed violence and hate.
Once upon a time, senor... There existed a gentleman's code for the settlement of such matters as this. The duello, as it was called. But we are living now in lesser and more decadent times. A man is no longer permitted to kill his enemies. He must suffer interference by the police, the Civil Air Transport Department, the government.
And even special investigators from the States, huh? Is that what you mean?
I was not speaking personally, Senor Dollar. You are as much a victim of the times as I am.
Well, it doesn't seem to be irritating me as much. More coffee, Don Serrano?
Gracias, no. Perhaps it is because you have not lost your dearly beloved sister, senor.
Oh, maybe. In that, at least, you have my sympathy. But let's get to the point. You've done quite a lot of talking about wanting to kill somebody, but I'm still not too sure who or why or what.
It is very simple, senor.
Not to me. Suppose we start at the beginning.
As you like. But who can ever say what is the beginning of anything?
All right, then let's be arbitrary about it. Let's start 3 weeks ago when your sister Maria came here from Havana to join her husband, Ramon de Lagos. I believe you said Ramon had been here for a month at that time on some kind of a business deal.
A business deal? Do I look like a fool, senor?
Oh, now, let's stick to the point.
Women. That is his business, senor. Women with money.
Then a week ago, Maria wired you, said she was terribly unhappy and asked you to come at once. And when you got here, she told you what was the matter. She said Ramon was carrying on with an American girl named Marvel Terrence.
Jezebel, senor.
So you took over. You got Maria an airline reservation back to Havana on Flight 6, the one that crashed, and told her you'd handle Ramon.
Oh, she was putty in his hands. He lied to her every day since they were married. and she always ended up by believing him. I told her in the beginning he was interested only in her wealth.
Which amounts to how much?
Oh, much. Even after Raymond's foolish dissipation over the last few years.
What happens to her estate now?
Half of it she was permitted to dispose of as she wished. She made a will some time ago in favor of Raymond. Against my advice, I may say.
What about the other half?
Now that reverts to me, senor.
Oh?
It is a matter of family tradition.
Who managed your sister's estate before Ramon came into the picture?
I did, senor. And quite profitably. I did not waste my energies on illicit follies and ludicrous intrigues.
All right, all right. Night before last, then, you took Maria to the airport and saw her off on a plane.
Si.
What was she planning to do when she got back to Havana? Was she going to divorce Ramon?
My sister was a very pious woman. May she rest in peace. A religion would never permit such an act.
I see.
And, of course, there was the matter of family tradition.
Oh, naturally. Did Ramon go to the airport with you?
I had not seen Ramon since the night before, nor had Maria. We had quarreled violently over his disgraceful conduct.
Did Ramon know that his wife was taking Flight 6?
I informed him the night before.
Did you or Maria see him at the airport?
Oh, no, senor. He was much too clever. He managed to keep out of sight.
Then how can you be sure he was there?
Senor Dollar, who else would be so vile as to place an explosive on board the plane?
Oh, well, now I can follow your reasoning, but...
The matter is self-evident.
Well, look, I'm afraid we need more than self-evidence, Don Serrano.
The problem of evidence is your responsibility, senor. I have told you who committed the deed.
No, you've told me who you suspect.
Do you doubt my word?
Not as far as it goes. Sure you won't have some more coffee?
No, gracias.
Do you happen to know this girl, Marvel Terrence? By sight, I mean.
She has been pointed out to me.
Mm-hmm. Did you see her at the airport?
See, I did. I was under the impression she was going to leave on the plane, but after it departed, she was still in the terminal.
Did you notice her talking to anyone before the takeoff?
Yes, to some American, I believe.
Red hair, stocky build, about 35?
See, he would fit that description.
Blakely, did you see her talking to anyone else? Any of the baggage handlers or the ground crew?
I'm afraid I did not notice. Is it important?
It could be. Well, thanks for your information, Don Serrano.
My only concern is to see justice done.
I'm sure it will be. And now suppose we take a look at what you didn't tell me.
Senor?
The fact that Maria took out a flight accident policy for $25,000 and named you as her beneficiary.
Well, I considered it a mere whim of my sister's.
But the way things turned out, it was a pretty valuable whim, wasn't it, Don Serrano? For you, I mean.
Senor, are you implying...
I'm implying that Ramon wasn't the only one with a motive. Wasn't the only one who'll profit by Maria's death. You'll do pretty well yourself. Half her estate and $25,000 cash, that's not a bad deal.
I should kill you for such an insult.
You'd like to, wouldn't you? You're very big on this killing business. That's how you planned to handle things with Ramon, wasn't it? As soon as Maria went back to Havana.
It is only what he deserves.
And now you're trying to use me to do it. That's why you came here. You don't care about justice. All you want to do is get Ramon.
He is guilty.
If he is, Don Serrano, I'll find it out and I'll pin it on him. But if he isn't, I'm not going to be pushed into framing him. So you can take these dirty, underhanded insinuations of yours and you can... Get out, Don Serrano. Expense account item 6, $12.60. Taxi fares in and around Mexico City. I checked with the federal police first. They had their best men working on the murder of the baggage handler at the airport. And so far, they'd turned up nothing. They didn't have a single lead. I went through their files on the other 7 people who died on the plane. Nothing. The 2 pilots and the stewardess were Cuban and apparently had no close friends or enemies in Mexico City. 2 of the passengers were Brazilians and were only traveling through en route from the States. And as far as the other 2 were concerned, there seemed to be no motive. So it came right back again to the 3 I was already working on. Maria de Lagos and the 2 business partners, Ed Palmer and Jim Rourke. The 3 people who'd bought flight insurance policies. And that left me with 4 possible suspects. Ramon de Lagos, Maria's husband, Don Serrano, her brother, Marvel Terrence, and Bill Blakely, the partner of Palmer and Rourke. I checked with Inspector Macklin, but he'd made no progress. With Gina Romero, no progress. I tried to reach Blakely, but he hadn't shown up at his office. I phoned Marvel Terrence and got a reluctant agreement from her to meet me for lunch. I waited for her at the Vendome for an hour. She didn't show up. Finally, at 1 o'clock, I went to her hotel.
Oiga, mozo. Traiga el eje package del cuarto número 85. Ahorita vaya. Andre, pues. Si, senor. What can I do for you?
I'd like to see Miss Marvel Terrence. I wonder if you...
Ah, Miss Terrence. Que señorita tan bonita, tan hermosa.
Yeah, well, if you'll...
She's the most beautiful woman where I ever stay at this hotel.
Yeah, she's pretty gorgeous, all right. Would you mind
sometimes
telling...
Sometimes I think everybody in the world is in love with this señorita. All day long, it is one man after another which call up to talk to Miss Terrence.
Well, would you ring her and tell her I'm
two
waiting...
Two times so many calls we get on the switchboard while the señorita is living.
That's very interesting. And now, would you
we
please...
must forgive me, amigo. When I think of Miss Terrence, I lose all sense in my head.
All right, you're forgiven. Now, if you...
What is it you wish, señor?
Will you ring Miss Terrence and tell her I'm waiting down here in the lobby?
Immediately, señor. Your name, please?
Johnny Dollar.
Johnny... D-O-L-D-O... How you spell it, please?
D-O-L-L-A-R.
L-A-R. Gracias. I will tell her at once that you... Sacre nombre. I had forgot.
Forgot what?
She's not here no more, señor.
What?
She has checked out of hotel at 11 o'clock this morning.
Expense account item 7, $2.10. Lunch at the Monte Cassino Hotel, alone. I was sorry she'd skipped. I guess I was secretly hoping Marvel would turn out to be in the clear. But if she were, then why run out? It didn't add up. I paid my check and started to leave the dining room. And at the entrance, I ran square into a man I was planning to see later in the day. He didn't seem very happy about it.
Señor Dollar.
How are you, Ramon?
It is a pleasure to see you again, señor. And
I'd like to talk to you a couple of minutes. Come on, let's step into the bar.
But I have a most important engagement, señor.
Oh, this is important, too. I understand you're a friend of Marvel Terrence's.
Merci. It is my honor and pleasure.
Well, she's checked out of the hotel here. Do you know where she went?
Oh, señor, I do not discuss the private affairs of my friends.
Oh, knock it off, Ramon. This isn't a tea party. 10 people have been murdered by an explosion aboard a plane. One of them was your wife, remember?
I cannot help you. I know nothing of Miss Terrence's plans. And now...
I talked to your brother-in-law this morning, Ramon, Don Serrano. He tells me you're the one who put the explosive on board the plane.
It is a lie.
He seemed pretty certain of it. He tells me you stand to inherit half of your wife's estate.
Then he is better informed as to the details of the matter than I am. I do not know what happens to the estate, señor.
He seems to think you wanted to get your wife out of the way in order to have a free hand with Miss Terrence.
Don Serrano, as you may have noticed, is a bigoted and jealous old fool who thinks only of money. He knows better than that.
What do you mean?
Maria was different from the women of your country, señor. She understood such matters as my friendship with Miss Terrence.
And accepted them?
Except such times as Don Serrano goaded her into being foolish, yes. It is a difference of the Latin temperament, señor.
I see. Then there was no trouble between you and Maria.
None of importance. The trouble was Don Serrano. He has hated me from the day of our marriage, because from that moment on he no longer had any control over Maria's fortune. If you wish to discuss this further, señor, I will be happy to do so later, but I must leave now. Con su permiso.
I watched him hurry out of the hotel. I had no real reason to stop him and no authority to. On sudden impulse, I crossed the lobby to the public phones, called the Hotel Regis, and asked for Don Serrano de Almeida y Pico. Don Serrano had checked out. No forwarding address. I called the Del Prado and asked for Bill Blakely. Mr. Blakely had checked out. No forwarding address. I left the phone booth and hurried back to the desk. The clerk was very sorry. Ramon de Lagos had checked out earlier in the day. No forwarding address. Johnny Dollar.
Inspector Macklin's office. Gino Romero.
Oh, Gino. What did you find out? Did you locate any of them? Beneficiaries of the crash of Flight 6?
Si, senor. It was an affair most simple. A matter of making a telephone call to the airport.
Then they've left Mexico City.
Si, senor. The senorita Marvel Terrence has taken the 10 o'clock plane this morning to Acapulco.
Oh.
Senor Blakely has taken the 11:30 plane to Acapulco. Senor Ramon de Lagos has taken the 2 o'clock...
plane to Acapulco. And what about Don Serrano?
Oh, with him, he's different. At 2:45, he's departed from Mexico City in a special charter plane.
Look, Gino, is there another flight to Acapulco this afternoon?
But of course, at 4:30. Already I have 2 reservations.
Good, I'll meet you at the airport. What's the flight number? Gino.
I'm scared to think of it. This one is also called Flight 6.
From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Mexico City, to the Home Office, Guaranteed Transport Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Flight 6 matter. Expense account continued. Item 9, $63.45, incidentals in Mexico City and plane fare to Acapulco. One more of the sharp contrasts of Mexico. We left the stiff formality of the city behind us, the cool thin air of the high plateau, and 50 minutes later we stepped off the plane and into the steaming heat of the tropics. Barefoot tourists in shorts and barefoot natives in white cotton dungarees. Soft brown skins and flashing teeth. Mangoes, papayas, and the heady scent of tropical flowers. Blue sky, blue Pacific, and a burning sun. And a bay so bright and beautiful it breaks your heart. Acapulco. Gino Romero of the Department of Civil Air Transport knew his way around. So I waited for him while he checked his contacts, airport police, custom agents, limousine drivers. And in a few minutes, he'd made his rounds and rejoined me in front of the terminal.
It is an affair most simple, senor. A merely matter of ask the question and listen to the answer.
What did you find out, Gino?
Señorita, Miss Terns is there at the Hotel Los Flamingos.
So?
Señor Blakely is also there. Ramon de Lagos is go to the Hotel Caleta. And Don Serrano is stay at the Club de Pesca. So you see?
Yeah, I see. All right, Gino, let's get going.
And where we are going is to the...
We'll put up at the Los Flamingos.
That is what I expect. Oh, she's very beautiful, senor.
True, but there are even better reasons for staying there.
¿Qué dice?
Well, in some way, and I'm not yet sure how, I think this whole thing centers right around Marvel Terrence.
You think he's possible she's guilty of the crash of the Flight 6 to collect the insurance?
Maybe. Or she might have been used. Or maybe... Oh, I don't know, Gino. But it's about time we found out. Expense account, item 10, $1.50. Limousine fare from the airport to the hotel. The Flamingos is built on a point near the far end of the peninsula, set on a headland high above the white smother of surf below. And there, just before dusk, with the western sky, a yellow blaze of glory beyond the far rim of the Pacific, I found her. She was sitting on the open terrace by the edge of the cliff. And once again, she was alone.
Sit down, Johnny.
Thanks.
I suppose I should be surprised, but I'm not, really. I guess I rather expected you.
Well, then wasn't it a waste of time to run away from Mexico City?
I've always run away, I guess.
And most of the time, I imagine you've been followed.
Or maybe I wanted to face you here, where it's so beautiful. Where perhaps you'd be able to understand me a little better.
Is that what you want, Marvel? To be understood?
Doesn't every woman?
I thought it was more often the man. And usually it's his wife who doesn't understand him, isn't it?
I see this isn't going to be just a social chat.
Oh, I doubt if it could ever be just a social chat. Not with you. Now, you've got too much impact for that.
A compliment?
That's a fact.
There's no place else in the world with sunsets like the ones here. Every evening. It's like there's another land way off there in the west. A strange, bright, golden land. And it keeps calling, coaxing.
Only in a little while it'll disappear. And everything will be dark off there in the west.
Maybe you do understand me, Johnny. Maybe that's why I'm half afraid of you. Another reason I ran, maybe. I can be a fool, easy. Sort of hereditary defect, you might say.
Oh, it's a common affliction. Rarely fatal.
Rarely doesn't help. Once is enough. You know something? When I die, I want to be buried up there in the middle of a sunset.
It'd be kind of lonely, wouldn't it?
I think I've always been lonely. Do you know I haven't a single living relative in the world? Not one. I was 14 when my parents were killed in an auto accident. I stayed in a boarding school, and the bank handled the estate. When I was 21, they turned it over to me. And since then, I've... I guess that's not what you want to know, though, is it?
Not exactly. Want to tell me about it, Marvel?
No. As a matter of fact, I don't. I don't even want to think about it.
It would be better if you would.
For whom? For me? I doubt it. I feel dirty, Johnny. Telling wouldn't change that.
It might.
Anything I'd tell you would be only suspicion, not fact.
Wouldn't?
Unless, of course, you're expecting a confession.
Do you have one to make?
No.
But you know who caused Flight 6 to blow up and why, don't you?
No. I can make a guess, that's all.
Like to tell me that guess?
You'll find out soon enough, Johnny, and I'd rather it didn't come from me.
11 people have died, Marvel.
I know.
10 on the plane that crashed, and the baggage handler who was murdered later, and
you
whoever...
You don't have to remind me of it. I couldn't forget it if I wanted to. I told you how I felt, and I'll drop it, Johnny.
All right.
I didn't know. That's all I can claim. I just didn't know.
What do you mean?
Nothing. Look. It's dark out there now. And sunset's gone.
There's always another one.
I wonder.
Have you ever met Don Serrano, brother-in-law of Ramon de Lagos?
No, but he was pointed out to me.
Did you see him at the airport the night Flight 6 was blown up?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
Did you see Ramon?
No.
Did he know you'd canceled your reservation that night?
He didn't even know I had one.
Have Ramon and Bill Blakely ever met?
Yes, they met. And detested each other on sight.
Well, that's understandable in view of the circumstances.
Oh, I guess, but... why are people like they are?
Did you arrange for Blakely to follow you here?
I didn't tell anybody I was coming.
He was a good guesser. So was Ramon and Don Serrano.
I know. They're all here. Why? They don't even know me. They don't want to know me. Not in any real way, but they're here.
Oh, yeah, they're here. And I think you ought to tell me what you know, Marvel.
Tomorrow, maybe. Not tonight. Let me have just one night, Johnny.
All right.
Take me to dinner. Dance with me, laugh with me. Give me just one evening. Will you, Johnny?
Sure. And thank my lucky star for the chance.
You're sweet. I'm saying it now. Without any strings. No matter how things work out, I'll still mean it. You're a sweet guy, Johnny. Give me time to change.
I went to my room and made 2 phone calls while I waited for her. The operator at the Club de Pesca informed me that Don Serrano was not in. The clerk at the hotel, Caleta, said the same thing about Ramon de Lagos. I didn't leave my name with either of them. Bill Blakely was staying in room 23, a few doors on down the terrace, so I decided to go have a talk with him before I went out to dinner with Marvel Terrence. But as it happened, I didn't have to go to that much trouble. Yeah, who is it?
Blakely, I'd like to talk to you.
Come on in.
Do you always cover your visitors with a gun?
Only when I spot them listening outside my door.
I don't know.
I saw your shadow against the shutter there. You've been standing outside for the last 5 minutes, Blakely. You listened to me make a couple of phone calls. Did you learn anything you wanted to know?
Dollar, suppose you were suspected of sabotaging an airliner and killing 10 people. Wouldn't you want to know what kind of a case was being built up against you?
What makes you think you're under suspicion, Blakely?
I know I am. Ed Palmer and Jim Rourke were my partners. When they died on that plane, I became sole owner of the firm. There's the motive. I've got a warehouse full of dynamite in Mexico City. There's the method.
I can go even farther than that.
What do you mean?
You mentioned one motive. Why didn't you mention the other one?
What other one?
Marvel Terrence. That crash not only eliminated a pair of business partners, it wiped out a couple of rivals.
Just one thing wrong with that dollar. Marvel had a reservation on that plane herself. She only decided at the last minute not to go. I wouldn't have been gaining much if I'd killed her along with my rivals, as you call them.
Uh-huh. Maybe that's why you cornered her at the airport and argued her out of going.
Yes, I did talk her out of the trip. But not because I'd planted an explosive on board.
How do you feel about her, Blakely?
I'd give my left arm. It wouldn't do any good. I'm just not the guy. I never have been and never will be. Maybe you are. She says she's having dinner with you tonight.
That's right. She is.
How do you feel about her, Dollar?
I don't know. Expense account item 11, $26.40. Taxis, dinner, drinks, and dancing for two. The Copacabana with its blue lights and the surf right at your feet and a million stars low enough to touch. The warm water of the bay lapping softly at the pilings. The Las Americas, the Casablanca, music, champagne, and the tropic night. And then finally, much later.
Good night, Johnny, and thank you. Tonight, for the first time I can remember, I wasn't alone.
And then, only an hour afterward, I was wakened out of a sound sleep.
Johnny!
Senor Dollar.
Right with you, Gino. What was it?
It's a senorita, I think.
She's a number eight. Come on. But she wasn't a number eight. Her door was standing open and the room was empty. We searched the terrace out toward the edge of the cliff where I'd talked with her at sunset. We saw the broken section of railing and found one of her slippers and a pack of her cigarettes lying nearby. In pitch darkness, we slid and scrambled down the steep path to the beach. And there by the edge of the surf, we found her. The warm foam reached out for her, as though to carry her away to that last sunset she'd loved so much. She looked very beautiful, but very much alone. As alone and as lonely as death.
Now, here's our star to tell you about the final intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a desperate killer is cornered and strikes back in a deadly counterattack. Final showdown. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, a sad end, though. I have to admit, at this point, I really saw it coming with her going out to dinner and not telling Johnny right away the clue she had. That's always asking for the killer to come after you in these sort of stories. I have to admit, I'm pretty curious about why everybody went to Acapulco at the same time. Other than perhaps the reason that it was Acapulco. But we will find out on Friday when we wrap up this Johnny Dollar serial. Now, I mentioned a programming note, and that is that next Wednesday we will not have Johnny Dollar on Wednesday. The reason is that we will be playing one of four serials where an episode is missing. And on those episodes, we will play Johnny Dollar on Monday and on Friday. And on Wednesdays, we'll have a special. This time we're going to have a one-shot radio series, only one episode in existence, so there was more than one made. We'll have Gloria Blondell and Dick Powell will be next with us next week in Miss Pinkerton Incorporated. All right, well, now we move on to listener comments and feedback, and Sparky from Pacific Beach emails in and says, at the end, Johnny should have gotten together with Pauline Morris, a lady who called him at the beginning and interrupted his vacation. Could have had another nice lady in the plot. could have had dinner and dancing, even leading to marriage. There are too many cigarettes being lit, especially during the intimate romantic scenes. I picture a lovely young lady firing off the cancer stick, blackening her lungs, and kissing like an ashtray. I guess this is the downside of theater of the mind. Otherwise, all is great. Thanks. Yeah, I guess that would be considered a downside, and really a reflection of just our changing attitudes towards smoking. Of course, if you listen to the radio program, you can get under the false impression that everybody back then smoked. It was actually, in 1955, 57% of men and 28% of women smoked. So a large number that didn't, particularly among women. Of course, over radio, it's hard to actively show people not smoking. And it seemed that on detective shows that most of the detectives at one time or another would smoke. And obviously, I think the perception in 1955 about a woman that smoked was, depending on how it was done, it could be a sign of sophistication or attractiveness. And in some circles, still is. I just can imagine how some people watching our television programs of this era would probably say, he ate that? They ate that much? So I guess it does pay to be charitable to previous generations in that regards. All right, well, that will do it for today. Join us tomorrow. We're bringing you a new series, Nick Carter, Master Detective. You'll want to be sure and listen to it. Friday, we wrap up the Flight 6 matter. And join us next Wednesday for Miss Pinkerton Incorporated. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.